Jim Mora Jr. joins us on Sports Byline. He's the new head coach at UCLA. And, of course, his father, Jim Mora Sr., was on the staff at UCLA under Dick Vermeil in the mid-1970s. You and I were just talking before you jumped on the air here, Jim, about your experience over in Iraq. I've been over there a number of times, and I thought you said some very profound things about the experience that had touched you very deeply. What is it that you saw that meant so much to Jim Mora Jr.?
Well, the sacrifices that our soldiers were making in the name of freedom and our freedom. And, you know, what struck me is that I had a chance to meet thousands of soldiers, as you have, and there was not one that made a single complaint about the conditions that they were operating in. And, you know, it was 120 degrees, and there was dust all over the place, and, you know, they were living in containers. They hadn't seen their families for months, some more than months, the end of the year. And not one of them had an attitude that said anything but, hey, I'm here, I want to be here, I'm willing to be here, I'm anxious to be here, and I have a job to do, and I'm going to do it the best that I can. And it really stuck out and stood out to me, and it made me proud. And it was very humbling. You know, everywhere we would go, the soldiers would come up and thank us for being there. And it was very humbling to hear that, because when you see what they're doing for us, you know, they don't need to tell us thank you. We need to give them our gratitude, and every day it changes your perspective about your place in the world, especially when you're, you know, a celebrity figure and kind of well known, and then you see people that are out there really doing good things for all of us.
Let me ask you from a football standpoint as a coach. I know coaches like organization, they like focus, they like discipline. Now, taking a look at the military model of that, what was it that you saw that made you smile as far as a football coach, if you could gather that all in and apply it to, say, a football team?
Well, they were all so professional, and they were all, as you said, very, very disciplined, and they had a mission, and it was their single-minded purpose to get that mission accomplished, regardless of circumstances. And as I said, the attitude is what really struck me as unique. You know, you get around professional athletes, heck, you get around college athletes, and there's grumbling every once in a while. You know, you hear the grumbling about things that they have to do, and here you run into these men and women as I was in Iraq, and there's no grumbling. You know, it's just, hey, what's the mission? Tell me what it is, and I'm going to go get it accomplished. It's awesome.
Let me talk to you a little bit about UCLA. When I saw the story about you taking it over and becoming the head coach there, I think I, like a lot of people, just wondered, well, wait a minute, he's been a coach at the NFL level. What would bring him to the college ranks? I know you've been asked that a lot, but what was it that brought you to the college ranks?
Well, a lot of things. You know, first of all, UCLA, you know, it's a prominent institution. It's a worldwide brand, and it's a beautiful campus, and as I characterized it, I think it's a sleeping giant as a football program. And so that's very attractive to me. But what brought me back to the college game in general was really just the desire to connect with the players on a level where I felt, you know, I feel like I have something to offer this age group, and I'm anxious to offer it to them. You know, I've had the chance, I'm lucky to have had the chance to be a head coach in the National Football League a couple of times. So I've kind of reached the pinnacle of the profession with regards to that. And now I just feel very content helping others get what they want. I've got what I want, which is the head job at UCLA, and now it's all about trying to help these kids and these other coaches I'm working with, you know, advance in their lives and in their careers. So it's a good feeling.
You know, when I think about the National Football League, and correct me, Jim, if I'm wrong about this, the head coach has to have two things. One, he's got to have talent, no doubt about that. And he also has to be able to push the right buttons at the right time, meaning game plans offensively and defensively. But you're talking about older veteran players in most cases. At the college level where you have 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, what's the magic there? What does a coach have to do at that level that may be different from the NFL level?
Well, I'm still finding that out every day. You know, every day is a real learning experience for me. But they have a lot to manage at this level. That's not to say they don't have a lot to manage at the NFL level, because, you know, they've got to manage their money, they've got to manage their families. But at this level, they've got to balance school, they've got to balance a social life, and they're at an age when they're still oftentimes exploring their boundaries. They've got to balance the commitment they have to their sport. And, you know, it's not always easy, and some of these kids come from difficult backgrounds, and there are challenges with them being on a campus. So every day I give a kid or two in my office, and we're trying to solve a problem. And, you know, I enjoy that. You know, I don't enjoy that they have a problem at all. I enjoy the fact that they're willing to come and sit with me and say, hey, coach, can you help me out here?
What have you found as far as recruiting? Because that's a little bit of a different dynamic, certainly, than what you'd find in the National Football League.
Oh, completely different. I mean, you know, on draft day in the NFL, you can see the players coming off the board. So you kind of know, you know, going into your pick, at least three or four picks beforehand, who you might have a shot at. In recruiting on signing day, you know, you're just sitting there waiting for a fax to come across that says, okay, this guy's actually, guy committed to us, but now he's actually signed. So that's a little nerve-wracking. But the process of recruiting is a lot different than I thought it would be in some respects. You know, there's nothing that can be pre-prepared in terms of your interaction with the players and their families. You know, every visit kind of morphs into its own entity. I really enjoyed the relationship building part of it. You know, sitting down with parents. When I sat down with families in my other careers, it was wives and kids. And here it's mothers and fathers. So that was very, very different. But I enjoyed it. And I'm very lucky to have hired a staff that is excellent recruiters. And so they kind of showed me the way. And they're still showing me the way.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Time management, I would think, was probably one of the most important things at the college level. If you think about it, at the NFL level, you've got a pro scouting staff. You've got a college scouting staff and everything, but you guys have a season going on, and at the same time, you've got to balance out trying to look for some high school talent that's going to be coming in. I mean, how hard is that, Jim?
Well, it's certainly different. You know, as a head coach, you're essentially the general manager as well, and as a coaching staff, you're also the scouting staff. And now we have some on-campus recruiters, but the only people that the NCAA allows to go out and recruit are, you know, certified recruiters, coaches, and so time management is an issue. The thing that's different, though, and the thing that saves you a little bit is the fact that the NCAA puts regulations on how much time you can spend with the student-athlete each week. So, you know, during the spring and during the season, it's 20 hours a week. So in the NFL, you're spending, you know, much more time than that with your players, and you've just got to be able to manage your time, prioritize, you know, stay disciplined in getting things done on time. And like I said, I've got a tremendous staff. I mean, these guys are unbelievable, and I don't worry about them at all. They know what it takes. They know how to do it. And as I said, every day I kind of learn something from them.
What does the cupboard look like down at UCLA? What did Rick Neuheisel leave you with?
Well, it's certainly not bare. You know, Rick's a good football coach, and Rick's been a friend for a long time. And his son, actually, Jerry, is on our team. So Rick's staying close to the program, and there's talent here. We've just got to go out on the field in spring ball and see exactly what it is. You know, it's easy right now to evaluate guys. They're out there and they're doing their winter conditioning programs, and you can kind of get a peek at them once in a while and what they look like athletically. But what I want to see is how guys handle adversity, how they handle success, you know, what kind of mental and emotional toughness they have, if they can keep coming back day after day and performing at a high level. So we have a lot to learn about our guys, but when you look at our team on the hoof, it's not a bad-looking team at all. I'm excited about it, and I love the way these guys have embraced what we've asked them to do so far. The attitude is great, but once again, it's been smooth sailing so far. It's been real easy. We haven't had an opponent that we've had to face. We haven't had any adversity, but I like the path we're on.
What type of scheme offensively and philosophy are you going to employ down there?
Well, I don't think you can name it. You know, I've been a part of West Coast offense. I've been a part of the, you know, Mike Vick was kind of the original Wildcat quarterback when we were in Atlanta. I think that what you need to do is you need to figure out what kind of talent you have, and then you have to create schemes that maximize their abilities. And so we're going to be multiple. You know, we're going to find some things out about our players in spring. We have some things that we believe really strongly in, but we also, you know, have an experienced coaching staff that has done a lot of different things, and we're gonna figure out what our players do best, and we're gonna have them do it over and over and over again until they get really good at it, and then we're gonna go play games.
You know, I'm taking a look at the head coaches that you coached under. You got Don Coryell, Al Saunders, Dan Henning, your dad, of course, Steve Mariucci, Dennis Erickson, and Mike Holmgren. That is a lot of great talent there. Did you take away a little bit of something from each of those coaches that you are now applying as a head coach?
Oh, certainly. And I also got to spend a lot of time around Jim Fanks, who's in the Hall of Fame, and Bill Walsh, who's in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And, you know, I take something from each one of those guys, but I also take something from some of the great players that I've been able to be around. I think in my career, I've been around 17 Hall of Fame players. And, you know, that's a pretty healthy number. And so, you know, having had that opportunity to watch those guys perform and watch them work and analyze the type of attitude they brought to work every day and what their work ethic was and their mental approach to the game was really revealing to me. It was very educational. And, when I first started in this business, I was lucky to be on Don Coryell's staff. Our quarterback was Dan Fouts. Our tight end was Kellen Winslow. Our wide receiver was Charlie Joyner. Well, all three of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. Don Coryell may soon join them. So, you know, just having that opportunity at a young age to be around three, maybe four Hall of Fame players got me off on the right foot.
When, at what age did you realize what your dad did for a living?
Probably the second I was born. the Mora family has never, up until really the last 2 years when I was doing the broadcast, since I was born, since the day I was born, there'd never been a weekend during the football season that we didn't have a game that we were competing in, you know, either my dad or myself that was paying the bills. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, a high school game or a junior high game or a little league game, but I mean a game that actually paid the bills for our house. So it's always been a part of our life. It's what we do. And I'm just glad that I've got this opportunity to be back in it.
We only got a couple of minutes left, but what is it, the best piece of advice your dad ever gave you, Jim?
Start hard. You can ease up, but you can't push the pedal down on him. So, you know, my dad is very disciplined. He's very direct. He's got a lot of integrity and morals, and he's strict. You know, he's a tough sucker. And he always told me, you know, a couple things. Is start hard, you know. I mean, you don't need to be a jerk, but start hard. If you put a rule in place, enforce the rule and do it 100% of the time, or don't put the rule in. Be consistent. Hold people to a high standard of accountability. You know, just he's an ex-Marine. So imagine, you can imagine what he's told me. Think about what the Marines talked about. You've been over Afghanistan a number of times. You know that culture.
Yeah, I do.
He's been great. I'm so fortunate to be able to access him all the time with any kind of question that I might have regarding anything I'm doing in coaching or life. I'm very lucky.
Yeah, you really, really are. And I think about your dad, and when I got to know him up at the University of Washington over the years, everything you said as you were describing him to me, Jim, I thought to myself of different things I had seen over his years of coaching that I had witnessed in person. And the one thing one word you use that I would say is the word that sums up your dad is integrity. And that's what I always liked about him.
Well, he tells it like it is, and sometimes that got him in trouble. But I think at the end of the day, and I think right now at this point in his life, I think more and more people have come to appreciate who he was and what he did and the fact that he was brutally honest. And sometimes those moments were a little bit embarrassing for him when they'd get played out in the media. But my dad doesn't tell a whole lot of lies. He's going to tell you what he thinks, and if you like it, great. And if you don't, great. Then, you know, if you ask him a question, expect an honest answer.
We only have a minute left, but for a period of time after you left the Seahawks, you were a commentator with the NFL Network, also served as a color analyst on the Fox Sports. Stepping back and from that perspective of watching the game of football, what did you come away with?
Well, you know, for me, what was great was being able to stay close to the game, work with some great people at NFL Network and Fox, and then have the opportunity every week to go out and watch different programs do things different ways. So, you know, on Fridays, every Friday I'd be at a different facility watching a Friday practice and sitting down and talking to coaches and players. So it was a real learning experience. I took notes all the time and on how people did things, different practice plans, formats, tempos, points of emphasis, all those things. So that was just a great experience. But I guess at the end of the day, you know, for me, I enjoyed being in the booth. I enjoyed the people I worked with, but I'd rather be in the game than commentating on the game.
Jim, I want to thank you very much. I'm glad we've had a chance to reconnect. Again, give my best to your dad. Tell him I said hello, and you are welcome here anytime. And as you move through this process with UCLA, I'd like to stay close to you and help you promote that program. I think you're going to do a great job.
That'll be great. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Jim Mora Jr. joining us. He is the first-year head coach at UCLA. We'll take a break, continue with more of You and Sports Byline.